This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Elliot Jackson, football writer for Yorkshire Live, and I'm joined, as always, by George Smith and Tom Coates. How are we doing, lads?
Not too bad, Elliot. How's things with you, pal? Ready for the big one, the big episode?
Yeah, I have to say I'm very excited. It's Friday night, I've got a pint, and it's exciting. I'm ready for this 1-24, which obviously you'll be listening to on Monday morning if you're eager and get straight into it. Tom, how are things at your end?
Yeah, they're good, thanks. How are they with you?
Yeah, very good, very good. As always, quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast feed where you can find us on all your usual platforms and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ChampChatPod24. I'm also going to point you in the direction of our new giveaway. If we hit 1,000 followers by the end of the transfer window, we're going to give away a 2021-22 championship kit of your choice. All you've got to do is follow us on Twitter, again, at ChampChatPod24. And retweet the tweet in order to enter. So, with the new season starting on Friday, very excited to deliver our 1-24 predictions for the new season. This is always my favourite podcast to record of the season. I hope it always goes down very well with the downloads as well. So I hope you enjoy it. Sit back, grab yourself a beer. Although if you're listening to this at 7:30 when it's gone live, don't get yourself a beer because that's alcoholism. But enjoy it with a coffee instead. And we're going to go through each of our selections with some insight, analysis, and we'll try and explain our thoughts for the new season.
This is the Championship Chat Podcast.
So, to kick things off, we're going to go 1-12 and then 24 back up to 13 and each give our predictions for each place. Bit of contesting, no doubt. And I'm going to give the first spot of the preview pod to Mr. George Smith. George, who is going to lift the title in May?
Well, as me and you have been discussing in the build to this, it's probably been one of the hardest ones we've had to predict in quite
The good thing experience. About this is I have absolutely no idea. We've not conferred in the slice. I haven't got a clue what either of you got. This is going to be live as live can be.
Well, I'm going to kick it off. It's probably not what you're expecting, but for whatever reason, I've just got a sneaking suspicion. And I have gone for Bournemouth. You may be very surprised by that, but I've just got a sneaking suspicion that things could go quite well for them this season. I mean, things picked up quite dramatically in the second half of last season, albeit now obviously under a different manager in Scott Parker, but he's been there before. He knows what it takes to get a team into the Premier League. They've kept the bulk of the squad from last season. I mean, they've lost Begovic, which is obviously a bit of a blow, but I think it's certainly an area that they can replace quite easily. Dan Juma, if they keep him, obviously it's up in the air at the minute. Will he stay? Will he go? Nobody really knows. They've already turned down one bid from Villarreal. But if he stays, then they're in a very, very strong position. But to be fair, even if he does go and they can reinvest that money in the squad because they're going to get a considerable fee for him, then they've got every reason because they've already got goals in that side. They've got Solanke, who knows where the back of the net is. They've got Junior Stanislas, who's come on in leaps and bounds in the last couple of years and just continues to do what he does season after season. And I just think there is a general feeling around Bournemouth that with the fans coming back, they're obviously very close-knit to the fans. It's not the biggest football club in the world. The fans can play a big part. And I think with that, I think if they can get it right and Scott Parker can bring a few players in at the minute, I think I look at the squad and think it's a little bit thin in some areas. But if they can bring one or two in, flashes of quality and strength and in depth in areas, I think they can have a good go. And as I say, it's a very wide-open league this season. And I think they're certainly going to be up there. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Bournemouth to win the league this season. A bit of a surprising one, I would imagine, to you two, but that's what I've gone with.
Yeah, I would say so. My first question is, what has happened this summer that makes you think Bournemouth can bridge a gap from sixth all the way back up to top spot? Because they've not brought anyone in other than Marcondes. Obviously, there's been a change in regime.
And Leif Davis.
Leif Davis has come in yesterday as well. And yeah, there's not been massive changes, but obviously new managers come in. But I just think they've kept the nucleus of that squad together. And I think with one or two injections, which you would imagine will come before the end of the window, you would imagine, I do think they can kick on and take that next step. And really, see, when you break down that squad, they've got some good players in there. I mean, Philip Billing, Jefferson Lerma, David Brooks. It's a good midfield and it's a good starting point. Lewis Cook as well. And as I say, Solanke at the top end of the pitch. They've got a decent back line in shape. I think they need a new goalkeeper. I think they need maybe another striker or two. But I think with Scott Parker, he's going to be eager to implement a good style down there. He did change Fulham's style for the better last season, even though obviously they did get relegated. But obviously every club is different in that aspect. But I've just got a sneaking suspicion. I think the foundations are there to be built on, put it that way. I think that there's a good starting block there. If they keep Dan Juma, then they've got a very, very good chance. But I think Bournemouth have got just as good a chance as anybody this season. I mean, as we said, it's wide open. So for me, I quite fancy Bournemouth. There's goals in that team to make things happen.
Well, it's nice to know at least that we're not all going to have the same predictions then if George has gone for Bournemouth for top spot, because I certainly haven't. Tom, I'm going to throw to you now. Who's you got as your championship winners?
I've gone for what I think could be deemed a little bit more of a rational choice in West Bromwich Albion. I imagine that'll be a more
popular... The first dig is out very early. The first blow has been landed.
That sounded a lot more insulting and sort of like sassy than I intended. I did not mean it. What I meant was, I think my choice will be shared more by people. You know, I mean, George might prove us all wrong, but yeah, I've gone for West Brom. Obviously, they brought in Valerian Ismail from Barnsley, and I think he's a manager who can get the best out of players. I fully believe he can get more out of this current squad than was got out of it last season, even if it was at a different level of football. I think he'll slightly adapt the approach he took to games at Barnsley. I think they'll look to control possession a little bit more, purely because of the increasing quality of players. You know, teams will approach games against West Brom differently to how they approach games against Ismail's Barnsley. They aren't underdogs anymore, but I think they can adapt to it. You know, and playing a high line, pressing aggressively, these are still going to be staples of West Brom under Ismail. And I think, you know, that's what Ismail encourages, and it'll suit the players down to the ground. They have a really robust attacking presences. You think of the likes of Callum Grant, Callum Robinson, Grady Diangana. I think, you know, the likes of those players pinning teams back whilst you've got, you know, Jake Livermore, Romain Sawyers providing a bit of insurance in behind. I think that's quite an exciting prospect. And if I was a West Brom fan, I'd be really looking to seeing that sort of football. You know, Valerian Ismail plays a back three. We saw it at Barnsley last season. It was a high-risk approach that paid off. But if you compare the defence Barnsley had last season to what West Brom have, the world's apart. And it worked at Barnsley with, you know, lesser resources, if you like. I mean, you look at the options Ismail's got at centre-half. You've got Kyle Bartley, Semi Ajayi, Matt Clark, Cedric Kipre, Dara O'Shea. That's five centre-halves, all of which I'm pretty sure would get into most championship sides. I'm convinced of that. You know, that defence is going to be the envy of the division. And that's me, you know, getting drawn into talking about the defence. And they've got an unbelievable attack. On paper, they have such a strong squad. And I just think when you look at the players in that squad and the attributes that they have, and you look at how Ismail set Barnsley up last season, I can just see it fitting and I can just see it working. And I don't think there'll be an adaptation process that'll take particularly long. They got Ismail in, you know, relatively early. He's had weeks to work with the squad, which I think will, you know, really pay off. I think they've had a more, fuller pre-season than some clubs. And I can just see it working out for them. So, yeah, my prediction for champions this season is West Brom.
I have also got West Brom in my top spot. It's a very strong squad, as you've just alluded to there. Alex Mauer, obviously, and Matt Clark, the big additions there on free transfer and a loan deal from Brighton. For me, obviously, Alex Mowat's going to fit so seamlessly in alongside probably Livermore.
I forgot to mention him completely, but yeah, you're right.
in that engine room, obviously, he knows what Ismail's about. Another important figure in the dressing room as well. And I think when I look at these relegated teams, I think, what are the question marks? Where could it go wrong? And I think even if Sam Johnson and Mateus Pereira leave, which is expected, and Valerian Ismail has said as much in pre-season, I still think they'll be all right, because in goal, they've got a choice of Alex Palmer, who was excellent on loan at Lincoln City last season, who I would have as the number one, but it looks like David Button, obviously formerly of Fulham and Brentford, will start the season as number one if Johnson goes as expected. I would go with Palmer personally, but either way, two decent options there, a young up-and-coming goalkeeper, highly rated, and an experienced championship figure in Button. And then, even if Pereira goes in attack, you've still got Dean Garner, Colin Grant, Callum Robinson, Matt Phillips. It's an attack that will be envied across the division. And, you know, I'm really excited. I'm really hoping that Colin Grant has a good year this year, because I think he's a good fit at West Brom in the right sort of system. And he struggled a little bit in the Premier League to adapt. He wasn't a Sam Allardyce type of forward. But can you imagine, you know, Dean Garner perhaps playing on the right-hand side, coming in on that left foot, Callum Robinson down the left, where he was really good for Preston North End, of course, and Colin Grant down the middle with, you know, Matt Phillips on the bench to bring on. It's a brilliant team, and you look at the spine as well, filled with experience with Livermore. You look at the defensive options, Dara O'Shea, Semi Ajayi, Matt Clark as a back three. Sounds really good. They need a left wing back with Kieran Gibbs having left, and Connor Townsend being the only option down there. Adam Reach obviously looks like he's going to sign for West Brom, so he'd be a good fit down that left wing back role down the left hand side, which is what I thought best position probably was at Sheffield Wednesday, you know, just playing as a natural winger on as an outlet on that left hand side. The only way that I think this goes wrong is if they struggle to adapt to the play style of Valerian Ismail, but they've had all pre-season, which is always a good sign. He wasn't drafted in 2 weeks before the start of the season. They've had the summer to work on it. He's clearly got a system in mind. They've gone straight to a back three, which he played at Barnsley, as you quite rightly mentioned, Tom. And I think they've got the forwards to operate the high press. As I say, Dean Garner, Robinson, Carlin Grant are players that are high energy, and you can see them playing that pressing game to get West Brom up the pitch, and then with Livermore, Mowat, Sawyers, whatever combination you want, and then a solid back three with energetic wing-backs, I just think it will work. The only way it could go wrong for me is if they don't quite adapt to that high press system, or perhaps they're a little bit too direct for what West Brom fans would like. But I think the combinations will be right, and that's why I've got them to win the title. I'm going to go for my second choice now for my second automatic pick, and that is Sheffield United. Interesting one, this, because obviously there's been no additions to the Sheffield United squad, but they're shopping in such an exclusive market that I can understand why. Because you look at where the bulk of the business has been done in the Championship this summer, and that's in the mid-table section. You like, so Birmingham, Luton, Millwall, those sort of clubs that, you know, can afford to pick up other players, free agents, and they'll be good enough still to make their squad. Anyone below Sheffield United in the Championship that's a free agent is not going to be good enough to get in their squad. But equally, they've got no money at the minute. So anyone they want, they can't afford to buy anyone from the Championship who's a top asset. And then they're waiting on Premier League loans, essentially, to strengthen. So I fully expect, and I've sort of done this these predictions as we always have to do with, you know, one eye on what could happen. And I think I would expect some movement at Sheffield United, particularly at left centre-back, with Jack O'Connell going to miss most of the season again after a reoccurrence of his knee injury. They need a left centre-back. They need an attacking midfielder. There's no doubt about that. Those are the two areas they're desperate for. But looking elsewhere, it's such a dependable core at Championship level. Aaron Ramsdale's probably the best goalkeeper in the division, assuming Sam Johnston leaves. You've then got Egan, Basham, Stevens, Norwood, Fleck. They're just proven Championship players that can perform. And then the attack, I mean, in terms of Championship pedigree, Brewster, McBurney, Sharp and McGoldrich netted a combined 76 goals in their last Championship seasons. So the last season they played at Championship level, each one of them, 76 goals combined. And obviously Brewster, that's only half a season at Swansea. So they definitely need a creative midfielder to help unlock that potential. It looks like it'll be 3-4-3 for them this season from what we've seen in pre-season, obviously covering them with Yorkshire Live. They do have Luke Freeman back in the fold, so it'll be interesting to see where he fits into that. I expect Ben Osborne might play quite a strong role as well. I think he's the sort of player that suits a two-man midfield with his energy and pressing. But then again, Norwood and Fleck are probably likely to be your first-choice duo. So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together. But I think, you know, if you told me Sheffield United are going to keep everyone they've got at the minute, oh, that's without discussion, of course, Sander Berge, who, if he plays, will be probably the best midfielder in the division. My gut feeling is Sander Berge will leave, but I think Ramsdale will stay. But even if they get £30 million for Sander Berge, or 25, although they want his release clause at 35, and I've discussed this before, if you can stick £5 million back in the transfer kitty and recoup the rest to obviously help with the loss in revenue, I think I trust Jukanovic to spend it, and I trust Jukanovic to get the most out of this squad. So for me, I think there's a lot to like about the Sheffield United squad. There's a lot of goals. There's a lot of players with a bit of a point to prove after last season as well, because obviously they peaked, finished ninth in the Premier League. Massive drop-off last season. Having no fans was obviously a big part of that, so having those back will massively help. And I think with the right additions, certainly at left centre-back, certainly another attacking midfield and a number 10 who can unlock the striking potential in that squad, I think they will get promoted, and Jukanovic will get a third promotion on his CV and another crack at the Premier League. And I think Jukanovic is the sort of person that Sheffield United fans can get behind. And it's so difficult for them to have made that appointment. You know, who follows Chris Wilder. It's almost like picking Sir Alex Ferguson's successor. But I'm pretty certain that you're kind of just going to do a better job than David Moyes. So I'm going to definitely put Sheffield United as my second pick. George, where have you gone for number two?
Well, I've gone for my number two being what you two have gone for number one. I'm going to go with West Bromwich Albion. I do think they will go up automatically. For a lot of the reasons that you said, I think obviously Valerian Ismail's gone in there, obviously to become the new boss. And there's going to be an expectation on his shoulders a lot more than there was at Barnsley. But he's proven what he did last season with players of a lower capability, shall we say, with respect. They obviously he's going to be working with a better bunch of players at West Brom. It's something that nobody really can deny. But even though they've not done an awful lot of business in the window so far, I think the additions of Matt Clark and Alex Moat are very good championship signings for any club. I mean, they're going to slot straight in down the spine of the team. And it seems pretty obvious that Matheus Pereira will most probably go. But even if he does, they've still got so many good players within their attacking ranks. Dean Garner was outstanding the last time they were in the championship. Matty Phillips has got plenty of experience. But no, I mean, when you look down the spine of that team, they've got a very good base to work with, West Bromwich Albion. And I think, obviously, they're going to lose Sam Johnston before the end of the window. I think that's pretty clear to everyone. But for the players that they've got at the top end of the pitch, that shouldn't be too big a problem for what they've got. And like we said throughout last season, we were so impressed with everything about Valerian Ismail, the way he conducts himself, the way he got his teams playing. And he's earned the chance to move on to a bigger club. And as much as it's a blow for Barnsley, it's a hammer blow for them. And they'll be a little bit disappointed that he's decided to move on so quickly when a bigger offer's come his way. But he's earned that chance. He's proven himself that he knows what it takes to play good football in this league and win matches and with West Bromwich Albion. I think he's going to do that. They've got some very good players out wide. Up front, I still think they do need a natural number nine to possibly just ease the pressure on Carlin Grant's shoulders. But if he can hit top form, then they know damn well they've got a goal scorer that knows where the net is week in, week out. So all the ingredients are there for West Brom to certainly have a good stab at getting back into the Premier League at the first attempt. So for me, they'll go up with Bournemouth in the top two.
Interesting. Obviously, we've got them in top spot. Tom, where have you gone for number two?
For my number two, I've gone for Sheffield United, completely mirroring you still, which is odd for us to agree as much as we have done already. But I just, similar reasoning to you, really. I think, obviously, they've not brought anyone in so far, which usually, you know, and as we will come to in this podcast, there is clubs that haven't recruited anyone that I have concerns over because I think it's needed. But you look at Sheffield United's squad and I don't think it's in any sort of desperate need of freshening up. And that sounds weird considering they finished rock bottom of the Premier League last season and sort of got relegated without much of a whimper, really. It's one of them. I think they do need some additions. I think I'd like to see them add a little bit of width. Obviously, they played with no wingers in the system last season under Chris Wilder. So there's never really any need for, you know, out-and-out wide players. I think just to give them a little bit of flexibility under Djukanovic, I think it'd be good. Obviously, in a 4-3-3, you can have, you know, players who generally play a central striker because you can get away with it. But I just think it'd give them a little bit of flexibility if they added wingers. But aside from that, you look at the squad, similar reasoning to West Brom, and it's so strong. My gut, honestly, still, despite all the speculation, is that Ramsdale and Bird will stay. And if that's the case, they've potentially got the best two players in the league in their respective positions. Goals were a massive issue for them last season, probably the biggest issue. But if you look at the strike force, you know, David McGoldrick, Billy Sharp, Ollie McBurney, Ryan Brewster, Lise Mousset, these are all players that, as much as some of them may have struggled in the Premier League, they're all capable of scoring plenty of goals in the Championship. And I think it sounds really simplistic and almost reductive to say, but I think it is a case for some of the players in Sheffield United squad that they just weren't good enough for the Premier League last season, but will be good enough for the Championship. I think they find themselves, you know, at the top end of the Championship, bottom end. I think it's just that they find themselves in that gap. And that's why, despite how badly they did last year, I think they'll enjoy success in the Championship this season. I just think Djukanovic is a really good appointment. As soon as he started being linked with the managerial post there, it was a move that I wanted Sheffield United to make. I thought it would be beneficial for him. And, you know, I just look at that squad and you look at Djukanovic's track record and I just think they're more than capable of coming up at the first time of asking.
Yeah, I agree, obviously. And I don't like that we're mirroring each other either, but I'm sure that will change. If we've got the exact same 1-24, that really would be a...
Sus.
That would be sus, especially since we actually haven't discussed it. I don't know who anyone's putting. So, number three, I have been wrestling with this badly for number three because I put a team in third that I don't particularly rate the chances of, which is absolutely bizarre.
Great start.
And also it goes against everything that I've got Fulham. So it's the three relegated sides that I've got in my top three, which seems lazy as anything. But I just feel like if I put them lower, which is my gut feeling, I'm going to end up with another Watford, where I put Watford in 11th and they went up in second. But I see a lot of similarities between this squad and what we had with Watford last year. They're the least convincing of the three relegated sides for me by a long way. I'm more sure that West Brom and Sheffield United will do well than I am Fulham will do well. I could see them not finishing the top six, whereas I'm adamant they will probably be the top two, West Brom and United. But I've got them in third. Grimes, the positives. Matt Grimes is a really good signing. He's gonna pen a deal from Swansea. He'll join Tom Kearney and Harrison Reed in midfield. That's a really good midfield. It's unclear where the likes of Seri is going to fit in, if Anguissa is going to stay, for example. And it feels like their squad really won't take shape until the transfer window's done. So we're looking. We don't really know what we're dealing with Fulham for probably another 5 weeks. And I find that really difficult to judge. As I say, I see a lot of similarities to this squad to Watford. And I think they might be a slow burner. I don't think they'll start particularly brilliantly. I have question marks over the manager, whereas obviously I'm cocksure about Val Ismail and Slavisa Jokanović. I have doubts over Marco Silva and how consistent and, you know, he's quite a streaky manager from what we've seen. And I don't know how that works in the Championship particularly well when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday in 46 games. But the squad is absolutely brimming with quality, and that's where, although I have doubts over so many of these things, I had the same with Watford last season. I knew it was a quality squad, but I didn't know what the squad was really going to look like because there was loads of departures. I mean, do you remember that? They played on the Friday night, Watford, to open the season against Middlesbrough. And the squad was missing about 12 players that people were expecting to play because you just didn't know what it was going to look like. And I feel like we're in the same boat with Fulham. But when I look at the two players that will stay, definitely, you're still looking at a front three of Cavallero, Mitrovic, Reed, with also Harry Wilson and Knockhart to throw into there. Reed, Grimes, Kearney in midfield, Gazzaniga or Rodak in goal, whichever you want. And then you're looking at Adarabayo, Tete, Hector, Joe Bryan or Robinson. That is a quality team. You can't argue it. I don't know how the manager will fit. Coming so late into the pre-season as well, he's not had the same amount of time as Jokanović in particular and also Ismail to mould that squad. So I wouldn't shock me if they're not in the top six at Christmas, but I think they will be in the playoffs by the end of the season. So I've got them in third, and I can see a lot of similarities to the way where Watford were a bit unconvincing, but still in around it by Christmas, and then grew and grew and obviously finished in second place in the end. So I've got them in third. George, what have you gone for third?
Well, I've got to mirror what you've just said, and I've gone with Fulham as well for third. And me and you discussed this on the last podcast, saying that we weren't overly convinced about what Fulham are going to do this season. But when you look at that squad, you just have to think that they've got to be up there. It's probably man for man, it is probably the strongest squad in the Championship at the minute out of the players that they've got. With it, obviously,
them or West Brom.
I think they've got a better squad on paper than West Brom. Personally, I do think it is stronger position for position. But obviously, West Brom has still got a very good side. But obviously, there's still a few weeks to go in the window and things could change very quickly. But for the reasons you've just rattled off there, the quality that they've got throughout that squad is just, for a Championship side, is pretty special, to be fair. And I think the signing of Harry Wilson only strengthens that. I think it's a brilliant sign. I'm not necessarily sure that they needed him as a kind of a must-have signing, but when you've got the capability to bring a player like that in, why would you not jump at the opportunity? And they have. So, very, very good signing. But I do have a few concerns about Marco Silva and maybe not starting at full tilt. But I think over the course of a season with the players that they've got, they should be up there. There's no reason why they shouldn't for the talent they've got within that squad. I mean, they've got players just right throughout the team that you just look at and think, wow, if I was a supporter of another Championship club, I'd be thinking, wow, I wish I'd got that guy at my club. But for many reasons that you said, they've just, when you break it down, like Adarabayo, Hector at the back, Kearney in the middle, Mitrovic up front, then you've got Knockhart, Cavallero, Wilson to provide width and creativity, Decadova, Reed. It's just a fantastic squad, and for me, that they will definitely be up there. So for me, Fulham this season, I'm going for third.
Yep, I obviously see a lot of that, and I agree with you. Tom, where have you gone for at number three, just missing out on the autos?
I think this is probably my first bold shout of the pod, and I'm sort of expecting maybe a raised eyebrow or two on this one. I've gone for Birmingham. I've got a really, really good feeling.
What?
Really good feeling about Birmingham this season. I think they'll be up there. I think they'll finish in the Yikes. Playoffs. I know a third is a bold shout. Honestly, I think Lee Bowyer as a manager, I rate really highly. I think he's a fantastic manager. Gave him a real boost at the end of last season. You know, took him back to basics, instilled some confidence, and now he's added some really good signings to the squad. I see no reason why
that is madness.
Real stab. Honestly, I'm sticking by it. I'm sticking by it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But that is madness.
It's what the people want, and you know,
I'm actually going to look now and see what odds you'd get on that.
I'll probably stick a bet on after this, to be honest. I probably will.
If that's what you think, that's worth sticking a bet on, but you're going to lose your money.
Maybe.
Well, stranger things have happened, but
let's let him get his opinion out then. Go on, give us some analysis.
I'm interested to know what the odds are. Have you got the odds, George?
Birmingham for promotion is 12 to 1. That's right. Just promotion in any sense.
Yeah, they're not bad playoffs.
No, it's good odds because it's unlikely.
If you wanted them to win the title, full stop.
I'm not saying you're gonna get
to he's putting one, third. To be fair, let's not twist his words.
Well, it's not. I just can't believe he said it, me.
Right, go on then.
While I explain why. I just look at their recruitment. Recruitment's a massive part of it. I just think they've made some really.
They have recruited well. Out. I'm not doubting you on that.
They've gone massively under the radar for what they've done in the transfer market. I think Chong coming in on loan from Manchester United is a really exciting player who I think genuinely has the potential to be one of those players that comes in and just takes the league by storm. I think he's got that in his locker. You've got Aneke and Graham, you know, talented, hungry players coming from the lower in the pyramid and looking to build their reputations. Ryan Woods, really solid addition, proved to be a good fit there. And then in Castillo and, you know, Deion Sanderson, you've got two really good, solid, reliable young defenders coming in with, you know, big futures and high ceilings. And I just think there's a nice balance in their squad. I look across it and, you know, I think there probably will be one or two additions yet to make. I just think they're going to be one of them teams that no one expects, you know, too much of, and they end up going and doing something really good. I just think the squad that Leo Boyer's got there, you know, the unity and togetherness that they showed at the end of last season after looking so unremarkable for large portions of the campaign under Ita Karanka, I just think they've got the potential to kick on this season. And, you know, I really wanted at some point in my predictions, and I think this is probably my boldest shout of all of them.
I'd be shocked if you got anything bolder.
Well, yeah. I honestly have a lot of belief in Birmingham. And to be fair, as surprised as you are, I have said this out loud before. This isn't me just saying it on the pod and realizing what a mistake I've made. I have said this to people and they have understood my logic. I don't think it's quite as shocking as you think.
My biggest question to you is who's going to score enough goals to put them in third?
I knew you were going to ask me this, and that is the one question, the one big question mark I have.
It's a pretty big question mark.
Well, yeah, but I think they will probably bring in a striker. I don't know why they wouldn't. You look at the squad, and I think it's all they're really missing, to be honest, in terms of their transfers.
Buckets of cash to bring in someone that's going to score enough goals to put them in third.
But I think Boyer's the kind of person that can bring players in without needing buckets of cash. Mm-hmm. I think you look at some of the signings he's already brought in, and, you know, he's been able to recruit well without spending loads of money. I think, you know, obviously Lukas Jurkovic isn't going to score you 20, 25 goals, but he's a handful. You've got, I mean, Jonathan Lako is not impressed at Birmingham so far, but I think there is more to come from him. You know, you've got young players coming through, could make an impression. I don't know. I mean, I think they're a side, and obviously Scott Hogan as well. They're one of them teams that they're going to have to rely on having goals coming in from all over. And I get that is a little bit of an uphill struggle. But honestly, even if they don't bring in a striker, I still think they have potential to go and do something really
good. I like it.
I really do.
Right, well, we're half an hour in the pod, I've realised, and we've only gone through the top three. So we're going to have to speed through this.
Oh, that's so worrying.
Yeah, we're going to have to speed through things a little bit. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through the rest of my top six, fourth, fifth and sixth, and you guys will do the same. So I don't think I've got anything anywhere near as bold as putting Birmingham in third. I think I've been quite nice to Birmingham, and I haven't got them in third. I'll say that as much. Right, fourth place, I've gone for Georgia's title winners, Bournemouth. For me, this all hinges on Dan Juma. If he leaves, I don't think they'll even get top six. But I going into the season, you could probably argue he's the best player in the league at this point. I'm shocked that someone hasn't come in for him, because I think Bournemouth would sell him for the right money as well. They've kept the same core of the team, as George has already alluded to, as last year, which made them so successful, minus Begovic. Need a goalkeeper. They were looking at Freddie Woodman. Obviously, that's kind of gone to pot because Dubravka's got injured. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with a goalkeeper. Lewis Cook's back, which is a big plus. Really big fan of him, especially at championship level. Marcondes in will add them a little bit more extra creativity in midfield. But I look at that squad and I don't see what they've done differently that's going to help Bridge. If they weren't good enough for the top two last year, I don't know why they would be this year, in my opinion, because they've not done anything spectacular in the transfer market or improved their manager that much that I would say that they've bridged the gap. So I do think they've improved because obviously they finished sixth and I've got them in fourth. And I like Scott Parker, but I don't think he's good enough to take this squad from sixth to first or second. So they're in fourth for me. And then I suppose I've got a couple of bold shouts. So I found anywhere under fourth, I think it's a free-for-all, really. So I'll be interested to see who you've got in fifth and sixth. Fifth, I've gone for Middlesbrough. I've been really impressed by their business, I have to say. Ipiazu and Crooks for under £2 million is fantastic business in my book. And I like Ipiazu a lot. The more I watch him, the more I think he could really set the division on fire. I think he's about 125 to 1 for top scorer. And I may have to put a couple of quid on that just so I don't have the what if at the end of the season if it does come off. I do slightly worry if there's enough X factor or enough goals potentially for them to finish fifth. But it's the Neil Warnock squad. Neil Warnock gets the most out of every nook and cranny of a player, doesn't he? And you've got reliable, dependable players. And I think there's enough of them with enough star quality to get them a top six finish. When you look, Fry and McNair at centre-back, Dyke, Steels and Bowler at full-back. You've got Joe Lumley in goal now. And midfield of Morsi, Howson and Matt Crooks. Matt Crooks is such a Neil. I don't think there's been a more Neil Warnock signing than Matt Crooks since they had Callum Patterson, really. He is the new Callum Patterson for this team as of Cardiff 2017-18. He's going to be a goal-scoring midfielder for them. So I've got them in fifth. I think they'll be tough to beat. Big club as well, so good backing with fans back in their stadium. And with the Neil Warnock effect, that puts them in fifth. And probably the biggest U-turn you're ever likely to see inside 12 months. I had QPR third bottom this time last year. I've got them in sixth today. They've kept, obviously, the lone players that caused such a dramatic improvement last season. It's worth remembering, although we tipped them to go down, they were about, what, 18th in January before they had the massive upsurge and finished ninth. So with the squad they had, it wasn't that far-fetched. But all those players they've kept hold of, they've done permanent deals for Charlie Austin, Johansson, Sam Field and Jordy Device, who are all coming on permanence. They've also signed Jimmy Dunn, that adds centre-back at centre-back, which will give them good strength in depth with Dickey and Barbe as well. They've signed Moses Odebaggio today as we record, down the right-hand side. And then they've got Chair and Chris Willock in attack as well to be a supply line with Lyndon Dykes, who's been in really good form in pre-season. So there's a lot to like about this team. As people who've listened to this pod for years will know, I'm a massive Mark Warburton fan, generally speaking. I like it, the brand of football, but he does concede a lot of goals. But I think the back three of Jordy Device, Rob Dickey and Johan Barbe, potentially now Jimmy Dunn, because I think Barbe's a little bit dodgy. That's a really strong back three with Semi Dieng in goal. I like the team. I think it's got a lot of balance. And I think fifth and sixth are wide open. I think anything outside the top four, I think about 12 teams are going to be in for that. So I've gone for QPR and I think they've got every chance. So that's my fourth, fifth and sixth. We'll go to you now, Tom. Who have you got in those spots?
So in fourth, I have Fulham. Not a particular surprise that I think they'll be there or thereabouts. Very similar reasoning to you in that I think the squad's still taking shape. I think they'll, you know, take time to take off. They've got an incredibly strong squad with big characters, a lot recruited on the premise of playing Premier League football. So I think it'll take them the most time of the relegated clubs to lick their wounds. But they'll be contenders. The squad's too strong for them not to be. In fifth, I've got Middlesbrough. I think they're working with a chunkier squad this season, which I think was probably their biggest downfall last season. You know, last stages of last season, they literally had benches full of academy kids, incomplete benches. And I think that took its toll on them in the end. But, you know, Neil Warnock's brought in players he trusts, players that fit the system. I'm very, you know, on the same wavelength as you in that I think Matt Crooks and Ushay Ipiazu are a tremendous additions. I spoke about Ipiazu on this pod 2 weeks ago and said that he was a player, you know, tailor-made for Neil Warnock's Middlesbrough in many ways. And in sixth, I have Bournemouth. Again, I don't think the rest of my playoff picture is particularly controversial. So I've got Bournemouth. I think a few exits might rock the boat, you know, if Dan Juma moves on. But I think there's still enough quality in that squad to suggest that they'll be able to stabilise despite departures. I think Emiliano Marcondes and Leif Davis are really smart additions. You know, as a Leeds fan, I was disappointed to see the loan move for Leif Davis involve a view to a permanent. I think that says a lot for what I think of him as a player. I think he's had a lot of bad luck in his last year at Leeds, you know, injuries at key times. But, you know, I think Scott Parker's a really good coach at this level. And I think his attractive brand of football that he brought into Fulham, I think it'll work well with the players he's got at Bournemouth. I'm really excited about seeing Lewis Cook get back to full fitness and see him work under Scott Parker. Because I think if there is a manager that can, you know, revitalise Cook and, you know, put his career back on the trajectory it should have always been on, I think it's Scott Parker. So, yeah, I mean, that makes my playoff picture Birmingham, Fulham, Middlesbrough and Bournemouth.
Yeah, I agree, obviously, with... We've got five of the same six. We've got five of the same six. I haven't got Birmingham quite obviously, but we've got five of the same six, which is very interesting. George, where are you at?
Well, I'm going to go for fourth. I'm going to go with Sheffield United. I think they'll be certainly up there. I think with the other two sides that dropped out of the Premier League last season, I think Slavisa Djukanovic is the perfect appointment, as certainly as perfect as you get to replace somebody like Chris Wilder. Obviously, had such a unique few years at Bramall Lane, and obviously how much success he enjoyed. I just think, for me, for a top two push at the minute, where it could all change, I just think they're lacking in one or two areas, certainly an attacking midfield, but they've got the strikers to score goals, and Billy Sharpton, McGoldrick may not be the youngest strikers in the Championship next season, but they know where the back of the net is, and if you supply them, they are going to score goals. So that's certainly, they've got something in their favour. The only thing that, like I say, the attacking midfield situation, and if Djukanovic adopts maybe a little bit more of a different formation to what we've been used to from the Blades over the last few years, I just kind of fear a little bit for their wide players, certainly in an attacking sense, that what they could bring to the team. I think they do need to strengthen in that area. So I'm going to go for fourth place for them. For fifth, I've got to go with QPR. Like Elliot said earlier on, you had them down to be relegated this time last year. So did I. We were convinced, we were just really struggling to see where things were going. Obviously, Eze had just gone. There was doubts about Asay Samuel's future, and they, like you said, they did run it fairly close up until about Christmas, and then they just went on that absolute remarkable run, 15 wins out of their 23 in the second half of the season. It was just an unbelievable run of form that Mark Warburton put together, and not only is that going to give them confidence and a spring in their step going into the new season, but the business that they've done has been so impressive without spending a fortune. I think that's what makes it all the more impressive. They're not had to dive really deep into the pockets, and they've got some good players over the line. I mean, Charlie Austin coming back in, you're going to get goals from him. Johansson's going to keep that midfield ticking and will contribute goals as well. And then you've gone through the guys at the back that are already there in Dickey and Barbe. And it's just a brilliant spine to the team. And I think, to be honest with you, with how wide open it is this season, I think they've got just as good a chance as anybody of getting into that top six. I think they've got to be considered as one of the favourites of the outsiders looking in, sort of thing. So I think they're definitely going to be up there. Lyndon Dykes, he had an impressive ending to last season, proved he can score goals at this level, looked good in pre-season, as you said earlier on. So I don't think there's many better than QPR in terms of what they've had this summer in terms of both preparation and signings. Things have been going really, really well for them. For the final playoff place, it's a team that neither of you two have mentioned, and this may be maybe a little bit bold and a little bit out of the box, but I think they're really going to kick on this season. And I've gone for Stoke. I think Stoke, this is their time to finally...
See, I refuse to fall into the Stoke trap. Not this year. I predicted them in the top six every year since they were relegated from the Premier League. And I just wasn't having it.
And this is probably the first time that I've actually backed them to get close. So we'll see how this one goes. But, I mean, the last three seasons, I've looked at the last three positions. It's been progress, but very minimal. 16th, 15th and 14th. So they're moving up slowly and slowly but surely. But
So you put them safe.
This is the time where they make the big leap of progress. But no, I think Stoke, even though they've not done a lot in this window so far, I think the foundations are there for Michael O'Neill to really kick on. I think Wilmot and Vrančić are two very good signings, and they've pocketed a very substantial fee for Nathan Collins, which I'm hoping to see they will reinvest into the squad in other areas. Tyrese Campbell coming back is going to be like a new signing. We knew how influential he was at the start of last season. I mean, 6 goals and 7 assists in 16 games last season. That is very impressive numbers for a young player. Stephen Fletcher will score goals if you give him the service. I think they do need another striker. Obviously, Sam Vokes has gone now, even they didn't really contribute an awful lot in the last couple of years, but they do need somebody to replace him that will hopefully add a bit more of an attacking threat. So I think the ingredients are there for Stoke to be amongst it. And for me, I do think they will sneak in, because last season we saw Nick Powell still got it at this level. Fletcher will score goals, like I say. Campbell's going to be like a new signing. So I think they do need to add in some areas, but overall, I think Stoke have got a good chance to sneak in there this season.
I hate Stoke with a passion, because I agree with everything you've said, but I just couldn't bring myself. They mug me off every year. Every year they make me look like an idiot, and I just wasn't having it this year. So I put them seventh. But so I actually have as well, as we'll go through in a minute. So top six is just quick run through. Tom, give us a quick reminder what you've gone for.
So I've got Birmingham in third, Fulham in fourth, Middlesbrough in fifth, Bournemouth in sixth.
Judge?
So I've got Bournemouth at the top, West Brom second, Fulham third, Sheffield United fourth, QPR fifth, and Stoke City taking sixth.
And I've gone West Brom, Sheffield United, Fulham in third, Bournemouth fourth, fifth for Middlesbrough, and sixth for Queen's Park Rangers. We'll do a very quick with a few notes on our 7 to 12, and then we're going to jump to the bottom of the league, because I realise we're already 40 minutes into this podcast, so don't want to hang you on for too long. The chance of ever getting this preview pod in within an hour is absolutely no chance. So if we can get in an hour and a half, I'll take that at this point. So number 7, I have got Stoke for a lot of the reasons that George said. Good business, in my opinion, to let Nathan Collins go for $12 million and replace him with Ben Wilmot, because we knew going into this summer that financial fair play was going to be such a big problem for them. So to make a £10 million profit and replace Collins with Wilmot, which at current level, I think they're about similar, really, in terms of, obviously, Nathan Collins is younger and his ceiling is a lot higher. But if we're talking about impact on this squad for next season, I don't see much difference between the two. They've still got Harry Suter as an impressive young centre-back. I think Vrančić has got the chance of being signing of the season in terms of value for money. He's just going to be a classy operator and different to all the other midfielders they've got as well. And he's a real asset from set pieces as well. Obviously, Tyrese Campbell coming back goes without saying. He's going to be a quality addition and one of the most exciting players in the division. So I'm excited to see Alfie Doughty as well get a first run out in the division. It feels like they've had a proper clear out. They've chucked James McLean to the side. They've got rid of Sam Vokes. By the way, how are Wickham playing for Sam Vokes? How has that happened? What are they paying him in Cheerios? I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how that deal's materialised, but there we are. The reason I think they'll just go short of the playoffs is potentially lack of goals, as George said. There's a lot of expectation on Tyrese Campbell to fill that goal drought. We saw the drop-off. They went from a team in seventh before he got injured at Christmas to what, they finished about 14th. So, real drop-off. So I've got them in seventh. Luton Town is my number 8, and I wrestled, nearly put them in the playoffs, went with QPR in the end. They've recruited really, really well, and they're going from strength to strength. It's a club on an upward trajectory. Really excited to see how Adebayo goes on this season after a 6-month adaption period where he really impressed. Looked a little bit raw between January and the end of the season, but looked a really good prospect, really good pickup from Walsall. So I'm excited to see how he does now after a full pre-season, after 6 months adapting the Championship. Fred Onyedimma and Henry Lansbury should add goals as well from midfield and out wide. Cameron Jerome's a bit of a weird one, but experience back up to replace James Collins, which they needed. And I think Nathan Jones is a really good manager, that it just works. Him and Luton Town, it just works. And I think they're a club on the right path. The recruitment process, 9 out of 10, is always spot on. Reece Burke as well is a good replacement for the likes of Matty Pearson at centre-back. So I like a lot about Luton. I'm going to go up to 10 here. I think I'm going to do 7, 8, 9 and 10. So number 9, I've gone for Millwall. Again, I think the biggest signing they've made this summer is the fact the fans are going to be back in the stadium, because we saw a massive drop-off. Millwall are always going to be a team that win games on fine margins, and those fine margins were often won by their fan base at home, because they went from having a brilliant home record, one of the best in the division, to one that was bang average and in fact, on the lower side of the scale, because they weren't getting that extra 10% that turned draws into wins. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many they drew, but at least half their games last season were draws, because they just didn't have the quality to get the ball over the line. With the fans back in the stadium, I think they'll win a lot more games this season. Ben Ikafobi is a really good addition for me. It just seems a good fit. George Saville going back to the club as well, I like a lot. So I think they've recruited well. I like Gary Rowett, and I think the fans being back is a huge plus for them. So I think they'll win more games than they did last season. But again, not enough goals for the top six for me. So I've got them in ninth. And then 10th, I've gone for Nottingham Forest. I've settled on them there. The squad hasn't changed a lot. So you're like, well, why would they be so much better? Chris Hughton's a fantastic manager at championship level. Again, like Warnock, he gets the best out of his team. In fact, actually, the squad's quite a bit weaker than last season, you could argue, because they've lost Knockhart, they've lost Amiobi, and Luke Freeman's gone back to Sheffield United as well. So hopefully we need to see Graben and Lolly step up to back to the levels that they had in previous years, because they massively dropped off last season. So I'm hoping to see them kick on. I expect we might see a flurry of loan deals closer towards the end of the window as Chris Hughton gets his contact book out with his Premier League clubs. So I think their squad will be significantly enhanced before the end of the window. So I've got them at top 10. Again, I feel like I'm going to say it's forever. Not enough goals there in creativity. So that's the reason why I don't think they'll make the top six. But an improvement and a step back in the right direction with a very good manager at the helm gets them in 10th for me. So that's my top 10 completed. George, I'm going to move on to you now. Where have you gone for 7, 8, 9 and 10?
Well, in 7th spot, I'm going to go with a side that you had to finish in the top 6, and that's Middlesbrough. I think they will run it very, very close. I think for all the reasons that you two have outlined, with the fact that they've just made the typical Neil Warnock sign, is you know that a Neil Warnock side is going to be good. It's going to be hard working. It's going to make life difficult for opponents. So they've got an equally good chance that they will sneak into that top six. But for me, I'm just going to leave them just outside, literally hanging by a thread. But I mean, they were 13 points off the playoffs by the end of last season. But for the bulk of it, they were a lot closer to it than that than what the numbers suggested. So they did do well last season. You would expect them to only kick on from there. So I do think they'll run it close. I think Matt Crook, Sik Piezu, a very good addition to Borough. Joe Lumley as well, the goalkeeper. In eighth, I'm going to go for Cardiff City, the exact position that they finished in last season. Like Borough, they're going to be another side that's going to look to try and kick on and improve. But I just think they will just miss out on the playoffs again just by the barest of margins. But I think, being honest, at the same time, I've been a little bit uninspired by the signings that they've made. I don't think they've really done enough to make you think, wow, they're really going to kick on. I think James Collins is a good, smart, sensible addition on a free transfer, but I think in other areas they're lacking. And I think certainly out wide, obviously, Hoylett's gone now and Harry Wilson's obviously gone back to Liverpool and then to Fulham, and he contributed a lot more last season than people gave him credit for. 19 goals he had a direct hand in, and you probably didn't expect that considering he didn't quite reach the levels that he did in Derby a few years ago. So he's going to be a big loss. Moving further down in ninth, I've gone for Luton. But I think they could equally finish higher. I think they could have a real go this season. And I backed them for 12th last season and got that bang on. So I do think they're going to take another step in gradual progression. And I think the fans returning for them will be important as well, because Kenilworth Road, it's an old school ground. It's very close to the pitch. And the fans for them can play a huge part. So I think there's going to be a real sense of, from the outside, looking at them and thinking they could be ones to watch that could do something. That Henry Lansbury is a good signing. Jerome will have experience as well. Onya Dimma's come in. So they've made some really sensible, smart additions. And I think they're going to, I really do think they're going to kick on. So wrapping up the top 10 for me, I'm going to go with a side that Tom decided to put up in third place, and that is Birmingham. I think 10
for them. You've both been nice to Birmingham. I thought I'd been nice, but well, clearly no.
This is the thing, and I've actually got in my notes that if they were to finish 10th, that would be a massive achievement after recent struggle. So what the hell third would be if they pulled that off, I don't know. Tom seems pretty convinced. But no, I think for Birmingham, let's be honest, I mean, the business they've done, I think it certainly runs very close in terms of Luton and QPR in being probably up there with the best signings that any championship side has made. I think the signing of Tahiti Chong is a very exciting one. I think if he can live up to the billing and produce his full potential, I think that could prove to be one of the signings of the window, because there's a really talented player in him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think Ryan Woods is a fantastic addition. Always been a huge fan of him. I think for any championship club, he's a great player in the centre of midfield. And as for the man on the touchline, Lee Bowyer, came in last season and did a very good job, moving them well clear of relegation in the end. And I think they're only going to improve. So I think if they can achieve a top 10 finish, I think that'll be a massive, massive achievement. So I think, like Luton, like QPR, they're going to be ones to watch, and I think they could cause a few problems for teams. So for me, top 10 for Birmingham.
Brilliant. Tom, you know, rattle 7, 8, 9 and go on, do the rest of the top half for you, and then we'll round off our...
So I'll start with 7th. I've got QPR. They're another side that I think have recruited really well this season. I think last season they were one of them sides that, you know, every couple of weeks they'd threaten to, you know, really come out of the shell and prove that they can compete nearer the top. And I'd get more ambitious about their prospects, and then they'd drop off. And it was, I think you can find a bit more consistency this season, then they'll be able to really challenge for the playoffs. Really similar reasoning to my team in 8th, which is Stoke. I think they've made some sensible additions. I think Ben Wilmot's a fantastic signing. I think Vrančić is a fantastic signing. They've got a highly rated goalkeeper in Jack Bonham coming to contest for the first team jersey. I just think, you know, on top of a squad which has already got plenty of talent, I think they've just made some sensible additions. And I'm very much on the same page as you, Alan, that I don't like to get drawn in by Stoke because they disappoint so much. But I think 8th is a reasonable prediction for them this season. I think they will threaten the playoffs and probably, you know, being in around the picture for much of the season. But I think they will fall short. I just think you look at the teams above them and I think they've just got a little bit more quality. In 9th place is Luton. I think everyone's sort of tipping them for a top half finish this season and sort of challenging towards the playoffs. I think those three teams that I've mentioned, QPR, Stoke and Luton, they could sort of be in any position. I'm not really... You know, I'm not nailing my clothes to the mast in terms of Luton definitely finishing below Stoke and QPR. I think they'll all be in the chasing pack, and I think at various points in the season they'll all have stints inside the top 6. But yeah, I think Luton, you know, Nathan Jones is just such a perfect fit for that club. He went back in after a dreadful spell with Stoke, and he's just, you know, recruited really well, brought the squad together, and they play for him. And I think, you know, they've been able to show a little bit more ambition in the transfer market this summer because players aren't going to Luton thinking that they're going to be involved in a relegation battle. They're going to a club that they know are going to be looking upwards and, you know, pushing forward. And I think that's allowing them to attract a higher caliber.
Got there in the end. Carabao.
Am I doing 10th?
Yeah, do the lot. I want you to go do a top off.
All right, sound. In 10th, I've got Cardiff. I think they've got a strong core, but I just feel like they need to add a little bit more of a spark to replace Shea Ojo and Harry Wilson. Obviously, they've lost both of those players after the end of their loan spells. And I think if they do that, I'll be a bit more optimistic about their chances. I think they've still got enough in the squad. They'll still be solid enough to finish, you know, just into the top half or mid-table. But I'm just not really expecting them to charge into the playoffs and be as close to it as they were last season. In 11th, I've got Nottingham Forest. I'm sort of expecting them to go in a bit of a new direction now after sort of a bit of a weird 2 years. Obviously, the new CEO, Dane Murphy, you know, he said he wants a younger squad. He wants a bit of a new vision implemented down there at the City Ground now. And I think it'll take time to implement that. Obviously, if you change the whole outlook of your club and what you want to implement, it's difficult and it takes time. But I think if you look at the caliber of young players that they've got there, I think it's really exciting. You know, Brennan Johnson was absolutely fantastic at Lincoln. Wasn't surprising to see him linked with a move to Leeds. Alex Mighton is, you know, a young winger with bags of potential. Gabriel Richardson, both exciting players who have done really well out on loan at, you know, lower down in the pyramid. Gabriel at Blackpool last season. And I think a lot of them players will be integrated into the first team this year. I'm fully expecting, more of what I'd call 2019 Joe Lolley. I think we'll see a little bit of a comeback from him. He's too good of a player just to fall off a cliff at his age. Like, it's not, he's going to come back. I don't buy into, he's past his best. Now, he hasn't. And he will come back and he'll be a great player for him. And I think for Forest, we'll add. I think they'll add before the start of the season. I think they'll probably make a slow start because they've not managed to get business done early. I was reading a piece earlier, and I think it's just a case of waiting for a bit of a domino effect in the transfer market. There's a couple of, you know, players that they're interested in where it's a case of waiting on deals to be done elsewhere and decisions to be made elsewhere that allow them to push through on the signings they want to make. So I think, I think Forest will be there or thereabouts. I think it'll be a mid-table finish for them. Because I think it'll take a while for the young players to fully make an impact, but they'll be there or thereabouts. 12th, I've got Millwall. Again, very similar reasons to you, Ellen, that I'm not massively optimistic or excited about Millwall. I think they've got a bit of an average squad, really. Compared to the teams that I've just mentioned, I think in terms of pure talent on paper, I don't think they can compete, or they're certainly not on the same level. But I think, again, I think the factor of having fans back in is massive for Millwall. I think similarly to who was I going to say then? But it just went out of my brain. Similarly to Cardiff, they've got quite a strong core. You know, they're always going to be solid and hard to beat. And I think that is what they'll be this season. I'm hoping Benny Kofobi is a great fit for them. He's had a bit of an odd few years where he's not quite hit the heights he did a few years ago. But I think, yeah, I think Millwall, again, nothing too outlandish for me in terms of my prediction. I think they'll be tough to beat. I think they'll be an intimidating place to go and visit. And yeah, I think a solid mid-table finish, just creeping into the top half of them.
Yeah, I forgot to mention about obviously Alex Mighton and Brennan Johnson. I'm excited to see them have a full season under Chris Hughton as well. So that's why I've got them in 10th. I suppose they do strengthen that squad, definitely. Brennan Johnson and Mighton with another season under his belt. My 11 and 12, before we move on to the bottom half of the table, after nearly an hour of recording, is going to be Swansea City. I don't want to go too overboard with the fact that, you know, go from fourth, although they're in absolute chaos right now. I don't want to drop them from fourth to 19th, because that would just be silly, because although they've got no manager, no Andre Ayew, no Mark Guehi, no Freddie Woodman, no Matt Grimes, why haven't I got them in 19th? Oh yeah, because they've still got a lot of good players. They've lost their X factor massively, which is going to, you know, which was the thing that made an average group with some star individuals into a fourth place team. I think they'll now be about 11th. Depends who they appoint as well. We don't even know who their manager is, so this really is a blind prediction, but no Conor Hourihan as well. So for me, I've got them in 11th, solid, but not spectacular without the real quality players that they had last year. And in 12th, I've got Reading, a good core, no Elise, no Omar Richards, of course, and a transfer embargo. So I think they'll drop off. But let's not forget they were 7th last year. You know, they were in the top 6 for a lot of the season, and they've only lost Olise, really, of players that are going to make a massive difference. Richards at left-back as well, but it's only two real players. They've still got Lucas Xiao, they've still got Ejaria, and they've still got a brilliant midfield pairing of Josh Laurent and Rinamota as well. So I think they've got the potential to be higher than the 12th place I put them, but bearing in mind, you've not even got either of these two in the top half, Tom. Obviously, we don't know what George has gone for, but he's not named either of them yet. I think Reading have got the potential to be higher than that. I think no one expected Reading to do so well last season. I think you've got to look at them. Why would they be lower? They'd be a little bit lower because they've lost Olise and Richards. Yaku Meite's injured as well till the end of the... he's done his ACL, so probably you're looking at maybe February, March before he gets a kick again. But they've still got the same manager. They've still got a good core, Ajari and Jao, to score them goals, Puskas as well within that squad. So for me, 12, I think, is where they'll be. And that rounds off my top half of the table. George?
For 11th, I've got to go with what you said, Elliot. I'm going with Swansea, like for many of the reasons you've outlined just there. Obviously, they've lost the nucleus of the team. They've lost their manager, and it's probably one of the worst sides in terms of preparation going into a new season that you could imagine. So they've got a lot of work to do, and obviously getting the new manager in is first and foremost the top priority. And then you would expect new signings to arrive before the window is done. It's only natural that players are going to come in. But whether they're going to find players that are the next Mark Guehi and the next Freddie Woodman, the next Andre Ayew, are very unlikely, remain to be seen. But it's just not a good situation to be in. But for the players that are there at the minute, it could make them all the more determined to succeed and try and prove the doubters wrong. So it could go either way. But I do think they'll hover around mid-table. I don't think they'll be looking over their shoulder with any great danger. So 11th for them. In terms of 12th, to wrap up my top half, I'm going to go with Blackburn Rovers. I think for me, they're one of the sides that enter this season probably in the position of a steady Eddie. I don't think they're going to be looking over their shoulder. I don't think they're going to be looking too high up the table. I think if they keep hold of Adam Armstrong, they'll be absolutely fine. Obviously, it remains to be seen what will happen with him. I think the loss of Harvey Elliott going back to Liverpool is a big blow, because obviously he had such a good partnership with Adam Armstrong last season, making things happen, and was a bit of the architect in that team. And they've lost a lot of experienced players as well. I mean, Amari Bell, Stuart Downing, Corey Evans have all gone. So they have lost quite a few experienced heads in that team. But overall, I think, even though they've not done anything in the transfer window as of yet, I think they'll be absolutely fine. So mid-table for Blackburn for me, not too worried about them.
Quite generous. The first mention we've had of Blackburn in in the pod so far. So we're going to go down to the bottom of the table now, in 24th. Tom, I'm going to come to you for the bottom because I gave George the top, and obviously as a selfless man I am, I'm happy to take a back seat. So who have you got as rock bottom?
So rock bottom is one of the ones I didn't really have much doubt over, and I don't think this will be surprising to anyone. I've got Derby. They are just an absolute car crash at the moment. You look surprised at that.
Hey. I'm not.
You?
No, I'm not even remotely.
Oh, right. The way you looked then, I thought you were surprised.
No, quite obviously not.
Yeah, just an absolute car crash at the moment. They've had such a dreadful preparation. Wayne Rooney can't stay out of the headlines himself. He's absolutely clattered Jason Knight and injured him. They've got loads of trialists, yet there's no...
Two of them were their own players. They can't even re-sign. Can't even sign their own players back.
Oh, no. It's like, that's the thing. I was reading the other day and I didn't realise I'd been a little bit ignorant to the situation. It made me laugh. Andre Wisdom was like listed as a trialist.
And Curtis Davis, thing. That's what I mean. They've got two of their own players. They can't even re-sign that were their players before June.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. And even the trialists that they've got on the books now, they've no certainty that they'll be able to sign them. And even if they do, they're not particularly inspiring. They've got Ravel Morrison, who's been bandied about clubs for years and never really made it stick anywhere.
So more Sam comebacks Baldock's than take that.
Well, yeah. Sam Baldock's not exactly the most inspiring or exciting trialist to have on the books. And, you've got Phil Jagielka, who is old, really, really old. He's a great pro, and he's probably great to have around the dressing room. But he's 38. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird one. But I don't think anyone's expecting anything of Derby this season. More importantly, I don't think Wayne Rooney's expecting anything of Derby this season. I think if we had Wayne Rooney as a special guest, we pulled out all the stops and we got him in and we got him to do this prediction.
He probably pulled bottom as well.
Wayne, who have you got in 24th? Wayne, I think Derby.
I wouldn't have had Scouse accent, that was all right.
I genuinely think that's what we'd get. I don't think he's got any confidence in his team.
He's got that little confidence, even tackles his own players to finish him off.
Yeah, exactly. If you watch his interviews in recent weeks, I watched one the other day, when he was apologising about the off-the-field stuff. He literally looks like someone who's just been told his dog's died.
I don't blame him, though. It's pretty shy, isn't it?
But it's like, you know, come fly with me when...
dog is dead.
I just feel like...
I knew what was coming as soon as you said, come fly with me. I knew what was coming. That is an elite show. That is the best show going off, please. That's ever not got a second series. How was that on the BBC? How did that get published on the BBC?
I have no idea.
Amazing.
I don't know, but this is the point we say other comedies are available.
No, they're not. You go watch Come Fly With Me if you've not seen it. It's on iPlayer and it's bloody fantastic.
But yeah, I know I'm being daft here, but I don't think Derby have any real confidence in themselves, and I just don't see them doing much this season. I'm trying to calm down.
Tom Carroll's a good, at least.
So
Tom Carroll's all right. I'm not sure he's going to win them the league, but...
To be honest, when I saw that, my first instinct was, what is he thinking? I'm sure Tom Carroll could get a trial elsewhere, but, by the way. 23rd, I've got Huddersfield, which is a weird... I've sort of done a massive U-turn on Huddersfield, because when they appointed Carlos Corberan, obviously he's someone I knew about from being a Leeds fan and him being the under-23s manager there.
Stop being biased.
He came with such a big reputation. Everyone at Leeds spoke really highly of him. There's an interview that sticks out in my head that Phil Hay did with Romario Vieira, Ronaldo's brother, the quote was, if Corberan isn't the next Bielsa, I'll be surprised. And every, player and coach that worked with him seemed to think along those lines. But to be honest, I don't understand what he's doing. There's some of the decisions that Huddersfield have made, and to be honest, it makes me question how involved Corberan is in the process of signing players. I don't know. But signing Richard Keogh last season, just not a Corberan signing in the slightest. And I watched Huddersfield a few times last season, and one of their big downfalls was they were trying to implement the style that, you can imagine Corberan wanted to bring in from the start. But, and I said this many times on the pod, they couldn't make Richard Keogh play like Ben White. And similarly this season, Jordan Rhodes is a bizarre signing anyway, especially so when you consider that Corberan's the manager. I just... I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me in my head why Corbyn would want to sign Jordan Rhodes. It doesn't make any sense to me why they've gone and signed a left-back when that's a position that they're strong in. You know, they've got Harry Toffolo, and they've gone and signed a highly rated left-back. It's just bizarre to me, and none of the business they've done this summer has suggested to me that they are going to be good enough to stay up. I think the squad looks, I just think it looks a bit weak, really, to be honest. And I look at the teams around them, and, you know, in my table of predictions, I look at the teams above them, and it's the same rationale for my team in 22nd. I don't think they're horrendous. You know, they've got some decent players. I think if they lose Lewis O'Brien to Leeds, that'll be a massive blow. But, I just don't particularly rate them this season. I've not got high hopes. And that leads me on to 22nd. And to be honest, I think I'll get pelters for this one. I think if it's not off you two, I think it'll be at least from fans on Twitter. I don't see Coventry staying up this season. And as good as they were last season, and I was a fan of the way they went about things last season. I think they played really good football, but I worry that if they don't find a way to score more goals, they'll struggle. You know, they're strong defensively, but Tyler Walker was their top scorer on 7 goals last season. Their second top scorer, BML's gone. They've let him go. I don't think they're a bad side at all, and I'm not. It's different to Derby in that I'm not saying Coventry are going to go down because they're a bad team, and I just don't think they'll have a chance. I think it'll be close. But I just look at how, you know, teams that are going to be in and around the mix, in and around the relegation battle, and I look at how they've recruited this summer, and I look at how, you know, what their strongest lineup next season is going to be. And I just, you know, I think if you compare them, put them alongside Coventry's, I just think the rivals look a lot stronger.
I'm surprised by Coventry, not because you've got Coventry go down, but there's a couple of teams that I've got in the relegation place that I think are weaker than Coventry. Like, I'm surprised you rate a couple of teams above Coventry more than the fact you think Coventry will go down. I'm going to kick things off for my bottom three. Derby are obviously bottom because what a mess. Rooney is up shit creek without a paddle, I've written, and I think that's pretty accurate. They've not signed anyone. They've got 9 trialists, 2 of them which were their own player. So players, so if they'd got their act together, then they might have been able to keep their own players. It's just a huge task to keep them up for anyone. Never mind a manager that's done very little to show he's capable of that level of overachievement. So for me, it would be a wild overachievement for anyone to keep them up with the mess off the field and the state of the playing squad. It really does look like, I honestly might, you know, rock up on the 7th of August with a pair of boots at Pride Park and see if they fancy letting me have a game, because that feels like what the point we're at with the amount of trialists they've got. That they can't even sign. They can sign 4 of them and they've got 9. So, don't know what's going to go on there. They're a bit of a mess. Rooney hasn't exactly lit the world alight in his managerial career either to suggest that he can inspire what would be if anyone kept them up, it would be a serious achievement. Never mind if Rooney manages it. On the record he's got so far, 23rd, I've gone for Blackpool. It's great to have them back and I'm excited to see them play this season. Jerry Yates is obviously going to be their big goal threat. They've signed some good players in Reece James, Connolly as well as a good utility player, can play midfielder at fullback. Kevin Stewart and Kenny Dougal are a good midfield pairing, pretty combative. Really good defensive record last year. Don't think they'll leak a bucket. But are there enough goals in that team? Jerry Yates is going to be the main goals threat. I saw a lot of Jerry Yates at Rotherham. Completely different player now, but he was really bad at Rotherham. And I think that sticks in my mind a lot. But obviously, he's improved masses and did really well. I see him more as a wide forward than a number 9. And I don't know where the goals will come from enough to keep them up. I don't think they'll concede loads. But I don't know if they've got enough match winners in that squad or in that team. So I've got them in 23rd. So Derby, Blackpool. And finally, I've got Hull City. They scored a lot of goals last year, but they just don't have a number 9, again, that's proven at championship record. McGuinness has struggled when he's been in the championship, although he did well last year. Tom Eaves, I don't particularly rate at all, actually, to be honest. He's all right for League One, but I don't think he's that good at League One level. So I like Grant McCann. Grant McCann I like a lot, but I'm not sure. There's a lot of weight of pressure on Malik Wilson, Keane Lewis Potter there to reach the same amount of goals as they got last year, because without it, they'll struggle. And I don't know if 2 young players can hit that level again and hit 15 goals apiece. And obviously, they're under a transfer embargo as well, so it only restricts what they can do in terms of business to bring players in. They lost Reece Burke as well at centre-back. It's a little bit of an uninspiring squad with a lot of solid players, but I think there's too many League One stroke championship players, and they've got 2 stars on the wing but I don't know if they're young lads, and I don't know if they're going to be able to cut it at Championship level enough. I think Potter could hit double figures, but that if he hit double figures and Wilkes gets like six and McGuinness and Eves get like five each, it's not going to be enough, is it? And I think that's relatively realistic to say what could happen. So for me, that's why I've got Hull in 22nd, Blackpool in 23rd, and Derby rock bottom. George?
It's the exact same bottom three in the exact same order. I've got those three to go.
So Tom's copied my top half, or my top six, and you've copied my bottom three.
Or we could turn that around and say you've copied Tom half, and you've copied
I'm the host, and I like it this way.
Do you? Well, yeah. I think me and Tom can say otherwise. But no, exactly for the same reasons you've outlined. Obviously, Derby, just at the minute, complete car crash from top to bottom. It's just an absolute shambles. Didn't deserve to stay up last season, let's be honest. They were very, very fortunate. Didn't think the appointment of Wayne Rooney at the time was a sensible one. But whoever was in charge at this moment in time, whether it be him or somebody else, the situation wouldn't have been any different. So you can't put this all down to him. But as you two have just said at the minute, Derby County just in complete disarray. There's absolutely no light at the end of their tunnel at the minute to suggest that they're gonna finish outside the bottom three this season. And like I said many occasions last season when we were getting towards the end of the season looking at the relegation battle, I said a club the size of Derby County should not be in this position, and they're entering this season in one a whole lot worse. So for me, they're going to finish rock bottom this season. 23rd, Blackpool, many for the reasons you've outlined. I think in some parts they've done some decent business. I think bringing in the likes of Reece James, Connolly, Richard Keogh, sensible signings, stiffen up that back line in the midfield a little bit. But like you say, the goals, it's where are they going to come from? I mean, they've come up with a good striker in Jerry Yates, but obviously the Championship is a whole different kettle of fish for a player that's been banging them in League One. I know they've brought in only yesterday as we record Tyrese John-Jules from Arsenal, young player, thought of very highly at Arsenal. Will he deliver the goods in the Championship? He could do. He could do very, very well. Time will tell on that front. But for me, at the moment, with the way their squad is set, I just don't think they are going to be able to compete on a level playing field to survive. But time will tell. I could be proved totally wrong and they could do really well. But I'm not convinced at this moment in time. And then just hovering above them in the final relegation spot, Hull City. And many for the reasons you've outlined, I just don't see where the goals are going to come from in the bucket loads to keep them in the Championship. I mean, obviously, last time, they had Jared Bowen up until the midway point of the season. And then obviously things went absolutely pear-shaped from there. And I think it is going to be this similar situation now. I mean, like you said, they've got some good promising youngsters coming through, but at the minute they can't bring anybody in. And for a team that's just come up, when your primary aim is to stay in the division, you need new players just to strengthen the depth and add flashes of quality for that next level. And at the minute, Hull City can't do that. Quite interesting how Randell Williams gets on coming from Exeter. He's quite well thought of and he might prove to be a decent addition, but League Two to the Championship is a very big step up. And it's certainly interesting how he gets on. But for me, I can't see Hull City doing overly brilliantly this season. Time will tell. But for me, I think they will be joining Blackpool and Derby and dropping into League One. But as I say, we'll see what happens in a few weeks' time when we get to about the 10-game mark and see where everybody's at.
Yeah, so me and you've got the same bottom three. Tom's got two completely different teams in Coventry and Huddersfield, and everyone's got Derby rock bottom, as I expect a lot of people will in the 1 to 24s, and I don't think that's lazy. I think you just can't argue with the facts there. 21st, and I'm going to rattle through, probably go up to 17th here, conscious of the time again. Huddersfield Town, I've gone for 21st. I've covered, obviously, a lot of Huddersfield Town in pre-season. Of those that follow me on Twitter, you'll know that, obviously, I've been standing in for Stephen Chicken as our Huddersfield Town reporter. I'll be at the game on Sunday as we record against Sheffield Wednesday in the Carabao Cup, covering from that angles, and I think they'll just about stay up. They conceded the most goals in the league last year, but I actually think the defence is probably going to be their strongest asset next season. They're going to have Matty Pearson, and I think Levy Colwell will be the centre-back pairing, and I think that's pretty strong. And they've got a lot more, much better depth now in that back line, with Ollie Turton competing with Pippa, Josh Ruffles competing with Toffolo at left-back. And I completely disagree with what you said on that, actually, Tom. I think we saw last season when Toffolo and Pippa, in particular Toffolo, was out last season for a large spell, how much they struggled to replace him. So having a bit more strength in depth across that back line without spending buckets of money, I think it's really good business, actually. And I like what I've seen from Josh Ruffles, particularly in pre-season. So, I mean, I'll be interested to see how the battle goes. Pippa obviously has been linked with a move away as well. And I actually think Ollie Turton will probably start at Derby because Pippa's been injured. So I think from a match fitness point of view, Pippa made his first pre-season appearance against Fleetwood, a game I was at on Tuesday night. And he looked a little bit rusty positionally and defensively, but good going forward and good touches in possession. So I think they bulked the squad out defensively. It's up the top end of the pitch I have big concerns about. Solba Thomas has been really exciting in pre-season down the right, and I expect he'll probably be a breakout star this year for Huddersfield Town. Hogg, Caroma and O'Brien are obviously your star players, really. Hogg and O'Brien in midfield make a big difference. Josh Caroma, he's going to have so much weight on his shoulders to score goals, because if he doesn't hit double figures and even 15 goals, I think Huddersfield could go down, because they don't... It's a horrendous choice of strikers, what they've got, the three they've got. There's not enough quality in attacking midfield positions either. They lost, obviously, Carroll Lighting, who went back from Ajax on loan. O'Brien's really good. Hogg is decent. They haven't got that spark, that number 10, to play as a second eight who can create the goals. And it's a misfiring forward line. So you've got a bad forward line and no creativity to create chances for them. So I feel like teams are going to double up on Josh Caroma. And if you stick two men on him and stick a man on Lewis O'Brien, I don't know where the creativity and goals come from. You cannot rely on Fraser Campbell, Jordan Rhodes or Danny Ward. Danny Ward's made of glass. Jordan Rhodes is a bad footballer at the minute, I'm afraid. And Fraser Campbell's not played much of pre-season because he's had a self-isolation period with COVID. And even then, he scored 8 goals last year. If he gets double figures, it's a good season for him. And one player hitting double figures is not going to be enough. Or two, if you count Caroma. So I think they'll be really close to going down. I've put them just above the dotted line. But if they dropped under it, I wouldn't be shocked. And even, I think the biggest concern is the reason I think they could stay up is because of the defence, and they conceded the most goals last year. So, you know, that's a lot of over-reliance on a defence that struggled last year, albeit it's going to be a new-look centre-back partnership with Matty Pearson and Cole Will, which I like the look of a lot, I have to say. So I think they could go down, and I wouldn't be shocked if they dropped below the dotted line, but I've got them in 21st. 20th, Preston, for me, because as I've said on many shows, I don't think Frankie McAvoy is a great appointment. He did a really good return. I think they got about 2 points on average a game in his 10 games in charge, which is really good. So that probably seems really harsh, but for me, it was just another uninspiring choice when they got a chance for a clean slate and to go forward. And again, you look at the squad, what have they done to address the areas of problems last year? The transfers haven't rejuvenated what looks like a really tired squad now. Izzy Brown's injured again. And I don't want to make light of the situation because obviously it must be tough for him, but he's always injured and he's injured again. Olusunde and Lindsay are good captures, but it's the attack that we've had concerns with for so long. And have they got enough creativity to score goals? And I feel like I'm saying that for every Championship club, but you know, there's probably a shortage on attacking talent in the second tier compared to certainly 2 or 3 years ago, maybe. We've got a lot more teams that are more workmanlike that will grind out results, I feel, now. A lot more pragmatism in this division than true star quality. And for me, I think Preston will struggle based on the signings they've made, although there's a couple of good players in there. I like Olusunde, I like Lindsay, as I've said, but their defenders and their defensive record wasn't that bad to start with. So for that to make a big improvement, it's not going to happen. You know, Ched Evans is their number 9, although he overperformed from what we expected, but that bar was pretty low anyway. So Emil Reese has not pulled up any trees. Barkhausen is probably good for 6 goals, perhaps, but I just don't know where the goals are going to come from unless Daniel Johnson's going to get about 9 penalties again like he did last season. So for me, 20th, and I don't think they'll go down, but I think 20th is about right. I think they will be lower mid-table, definitely. 19th, I've gone for Peterborough. I like the attack a lot, and I struggle with Peterborough because I wanted to put them higher, but I also need to remember that they are bad defensively, or certainly are so attacking that they probably will get done at least once 7-0. I'll put that out there now. I predict at least Peterborough will lose at least 5-0 or 6-0 at least once this season, because I like the attack. I like Clark Harris, Smodix, George Grant's a really, really good signing from Lincoln City. Jack Marriott's worth a gamble despite the injury problems, and Josh Knight's a really good defensive addition. But I do think they'll concede a lot of goals potentially against Championship attacks because they are wide open at times. So it's one of the teams that I could potentially see them definitely going higher, and I did have them at higher at certain points while I was doing this draft, these draft predictions. But I don't want to overestimate them when survival is obviously going to be the main aim for them. So that's why I've got them in 19th. Could be higher. Survival is the main aim. 18th, Coventry City. I think with the right service, Martin Waghorn gets double figures. So for me, that's a big reason why I'm surprised that you've got them in the bottom three. Again, above a Hull or a Blackpool, Tom, because I think they have got a striker that can get double figures. Probably two, actually. Tyler Walker and Waghorn, if they can stay fit, I think they can both potentially get to 8 or 9 goals, 10 goals each. Sheaf and Simon Moore in goal, good additions as well. Got to improve that away form. The away form was the big problem. They were too easy to be on the road last season. So I've got them in 18th. And then finally, for me, I'll shut up and let someone else speak. In 17th, I've gone for Blackburn Rovers. The squad hasn't moved. It's not improved. It's not got any stronger. And they underachieved massively last season. Keeping Adam Armstrong is going to be massively important, but they've lost Harvey Elliott. Bradley Dack's still injured. And I have massive, massive doubts over Tony Mowbray's ability to get the best out of this squad, because it was a much better squad last year. And they finished, what, 16th? Did they finish in the end? Something like that. Bottom half of mid-table. So why would they be any better this season with no additions? So for me, 17th is where I've got them. George, where have you run us through from 21st to 17th?
So 21st, I'm going to continue the trend. I've gone for Huddersfield Town. Not overly convinced that they're going to make life easy for themselves this season. I mean, they've brought a few players in, but again, largely uninspiring. Obviously, there's going to be an onus on Jordan Rhodes to score the goals, but obviously, me and you know more than most. We've watched him most weeks for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's not the player that he used to be. Whether he'll rediscover that golden touch remains to be seen, but I'm not overly convinced. Looking through the rest of the side, like you said, there's going to be a sense of pressure on Josh Caroma, but they just, for me, they just don't have a lot of match winners in that team. I don't think there's a lot in there that makes you think they're capable of really scoring a high amount of goals to win games and make things happen. So for that reason, I do think they're going to struggle. And it does look like they're going to stiffen up the defence. It seems like they're in talks to sign Tom Lees, who I think will be a good signing, but it depends what sort of level he can get back to after such a horrific injury that he suffered towards the end of last season. So if they get that over the line, that will help them, but it all depends how quickly he can get up to speed. So like yourself, I'm just not convinced, and I think they are going to be in a relegation battle for the bulk of the season. I think purely because there's two sides that personally I think are lesser than them, they will stay up, but only just. In 20th, I'm going to go with the other promoted side in Peterborough United. Done some smart business, it must be said. They've brought some good players in. Really big fan of the George Grant signing. Liked him at Lincoln last season. So I think they will have just enough to keep their heads above water and stay in the division, particularly if they keep Johnson, Clark, Harris. Siriki Dembele is a good player. But for me, I think their home form is going to be absolutely key to staying in the division, because, like I said about Luton earlier on, it's a very tight ground, London Road. And if they can win their games there and make life difficult, I think they've got a good chance of surviving. 19th, I'm going to go with Coventry, even though I think they could personally finish a little bit higher. I think Waghorn's an absolutely fantastic signing for a club of Coventry's respective position at the moment in time. I think that's a really good addition for Mark Robbins. But like Tom said, apart from him, really, where do the goals come from? And obviously, Max Beermoo's gone. Tyler Walker didn't really set the world alight last season. But at the end of the day, this will be another season of him with a little bit more experience at Championship level. So he'll be hoping to kick on. And I think Callum O'Hare had a pretty good season last season. So I think he could kick on as well. So there's certainly potential within that Coventry side to improve on what they did last season. So time will tell on them. Moving up into 18th, I've gone for Preston North End. Again, not overly convinced that the goals are going to come in great abundance from somebody within that team. But I just think they will have enough over the course of a season to keep their heads above water and stay out of any necessary trouble. So we'll see on that one. Frankie McAvoy will... I think he'll be in the job for the long haul into the season. I do think he will last the season. I think he showed enough in the last few games of last season to show that he's got the standards right and he's up to the job, but not so sure that they'll be pushing high like we've seen in recent years. So in 17th, I'm going with Barnsley. Obviously, last season, complete fairy tale story, massively overachieved, but obviously they've lost the manager in Valerian Ismail, lost their captain Alex Mowat. But having said that, they have kept the bulk of the squad together. I mean, they've got the partnership at the back of Mads Andersen and Helic. So they've got the foundations there to build the spine of the team with, but it's a new manager, and really we shouldn't be saying this because we've seen time and time again with Barnsley, they bring in an unknown manager and it doesn't cause them any problems. So it may be doing them a little bit of disservice putting them in 17th. But I just think for Barnsley, a bit like almost with Swansea, we're kind of predicting their position literally blind almost, because we don't really know how this is going to go. It could be absolutely brilliant or it could completely fail. I know nothing about Marcus Schopp, I'm afraid, so I can't really pass comment on what he's going to bring to the table, but I do think they are going to see a massive downgrade in what they produced last season. And I think a lot of Barnsley fans probably already prepared for that and accepted that it was probably a complete fluke last season, if anything, that they did manage to achieve that. And obviously the loss of Daryl DK is going to be huge at the top end of the pitch. They would have loved to have kept him, but that was just never going to materialise. So for me, I think Barnsley are going to have to settle for the lower reaches of the table this season. So I'm going for them to finish 17th.
Tom, what have you gone for?
So I'll start with 21st. I've gone with Blackpool. I think they'll have just enough to stay up. I think they've got, you know, a really young, vibrant squad under Neil Critchley. I think he's putting together something quite exciting. That being said, I think they lack a little bit of experience. I think, again, if you compare the quality of that squad to the teams around them, I think they are lacking a little bit. You know, the Championship's such a competitive division, and I feel harsh with some of the things I've said about teams, you know, particularly Blackpool, Coventry, Huddersfield, but it's so competitive, and a lot of my reasoning is that I'm just looking at the teams around them and thinking that they're just not as good. So I think they'll stay up, but only just. And then in 20th, I've got Hull, another promoted club. I think in, you know, in Malik Wilson, Keane Lewis Potter, they've got two players who have the ability to take the Championship by storm. They've got a decent core, but, you know, you lose one of those two players through injury or whatever, and I think you're looking a little bit light. I just don't think they've got enough strength in depth to you know, steer well clear of relegation, although I think they will stay up. In 19th, and I think this is probably a little bit harsh. I mean, I know you had him down there as well. I've got Preston. I just think, you know, that really uninspiring business in the transfer market. They've let a few go. And I think Preston's one of them where if you look at their squad 3 years ago and you look at it now, I think it's just got worse. And I think it's probably gradually got worse as well.
Definitely.
I think, you know, every now and then they've made a signing where you've thought, you know what, I think Scott Sinclair was a good addition when he came in. And there's been, you know, signs every now and then that they were putting together a good side. And it seems to be, you know, one step forward, two steps back with them. So I don't see them kicking on much this season. 18th, I've got, again, really harsh, Blackburn. I really don't expect anything from them this season, particularly if they lose Adam Armstrong. You know, they've got such a depleted squad. They let so many players go last season. It's just been really quiet on the recruitment front. And I look at their squad and I just, you know, it's just really, I didn't realise until I actually sat down. I was writing a piece on them the other day, actually, before Leeds played against them. And I didn't actually realise how, you know, like small and light their squad was until
and
I looked
at it. And
it was
so it was so bulky last season. Like they should have been really top six last year. They missed a massive trick and now they're massively backpedaling.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, you know, when they had, like, you know, Harvey Elliott coming into the squad, they had, you know, Bradley Dack coming back from injury. It looked pretty promising, but now it just looks worrying. I know they do have a few injured as well that will be coming back in. And, you know, obviously Ben Brereton Diaz was at the Copa America with Chile. So they are getting a few players coming back. But I just look at the squad and it looks so light. And then in 17th, I've got Peterborough. You know, plenty of attacking talent, if a little bit suspect defensively. But I think they'll be bold enough to cause a few shots, a couple of banana peels along the way. And again, similar to you, I think they'll get a few batterings, but I think they'll dish a few out as well.
Yeah, by and large, pretty similar bottom seven. Bottom eights there from us, bottom sevens, yeah, from us all. So we're going to round off now with the my final four picks, and of course the same for Tom and George. In 16th, I've got Barnsley. Obviously, they've lost Alex Mowat, they've lost Valerian Ismail, and lost Daryl DK, but they did finish fifth last season, so don't want to go overboard on dragging them down the table. But 16th would still be a really good finish for them because they are overachieving and punching above their weight. They've still got Carlton Morris, they've still got Cully Woodrow leading the line. And Ulare looks a decent signing, good pedigree, certainly to add to things. And we know better by now than to question their managerial choices. So I'm sure that Schopp will adapt and have a good crack at the Championship. So 16th for them, for me, last season, pretty much a fairy tale story. And I think it'll be hard to match because I think a lot of the mid-table teams will be stronger too. The likes of Millwall, for example, that I think with fans back will be stronger than Barnsley. So I still think they're punching above the weight to be 16th, well clear of danger and a nice mid-table finish. 15th, Bristol City. Need to sort out that wretched home form. That's the biggest thing for them. I like Nigel Pearson a lot as a manager, but I'm not sure about the offensive quality. Again, I feel like I've said that six times in this pod for about eight different teams. So quality going forward concerns me. King and Matty James, strong in midfield, but they're not going to catapult you into the top 10, are they, from a mid-table start. Rob Atkinson's a good signing, but again, the defence wasn't horrific. It was bad towards the back end in that run, but it's the top end of the pitch I worry about. Semenyo and Naki Wells are decent, but you know, a bit of depth. Chris Martin's never going to score you buckets of goals. Jeju's gone. Jamie Patterson's gone. They had a big clear out. I'm not sure there's enough star quality to get them up from a mid-table berth. So 15th for me. Tom's surprise pick of the pod, 14th, Birmingham City. I thought this was quite generous. Well, I didn't think it was generous. I thought it was about right. But I think Birmingham fans generally, I would like to think that they would take 14th if I offered them now, given the whirlwind of problems and relegation battles they've had in recent seasons. A nice, comfortable mid-table 14th finish spot would definitely be progress. Lots of optimism after a good window that we've well documented already. But goals, I don't know where they're going to get enough goals from. Djukovic, he needs players around him. If they play 4-3-3, it's not going to work. You've got to play 4-4-2 if you're going to play Duke up front, because you need someone playing off him. Potentially, I think if Chuksaniki adapts to the division and does well, perhaps he can score enough goals to lift them into the top half of the table up from 14th, where I've got them. But otherwise, I think anywhere from 15th to 10th is where we'll see Birmingham, but I've got them in 14th. And finally, last but not least, Cardiff City in 13th. Solid but unspectacular, I've written here. I think Kiefer Moore will have another good season. He'll score them goals. James Collins is good backup, but not a ton of signings made to really catapult them higher in the division. I'm not sure there's enough quality outside of Kiefer Moore. Lots of solid and dependable players, but nothing wow or X factor again, as Tom said, without Ojo and Harry Wilson that left. So that rounds off my 1-24. George, do you want to do the honours finishing off your table?
I can. Well, in 16th, I've gone for Millwall. I mean, they've made some good signings. I think Afobe's got the potential to reignite his career again. I think Daniel Ballard, coming in from Arsenal on loan, did well at Blackpool. I'm interested to see how he steps up into the Championship. George Saville, as well, as a smart addition, established Championship player, will make things tidy in midfield. But I just think the squad's been a little bit too much the same for quite a few years now. And I just don't see, even though we know Afobe has got a track record of scoring goals at this level, I don't think they've got a player that is going to score enough to really catapult them high up the table. And I remember saying months ago that Millwall were just that side that were never going to be one looking over their shoulder, but they're never going to be one looking too high up the division. I think they are a standard mid-table Championship side that almost are lacking a little bit of ambition in the transfer market. I know they're not the richest club in the world to be able to go chucking millions at it, but I do think that they could improve in some areas and kick on. But I don't think there'll be any sort of trouble this season. But I'd just like to see something a little bit different, a little bit more out of the box. I think they're just lacking a few players with a bit of the X factor and a little bit of wow factor. And I just think for Millwall, it's just a little bit too samey year on year. And I'd just like to see something a little bit different from them. Moving up, 15th, I've got to echo you, Elliot. Bristol City, I think, will come 15th. And I think for a Nigel Pearson side, you should be expecting higher and better than that. But just didn't see enough from them in the in the latter stage of last season to think that they could kick on this season. Even though there's a long way to go in the window, I think the recruitment's been fairly poor, not been impressed. I think Matthew James, Andy King, as much as they've been good players in the past, they're ageing now. And it's almost like he's getting the Leicester City band back together again.
Andy Simpson in at right back as well.
Yeah, signing players that he knows. It's just, for me, it's just not inspiring at all. And when you look at the players that have gone, Jeju's a big loss. Jamie Patterson's gone, another player that did have the ability to make things happen on his day. Jack Hunt's another one, an experienced, established Championship right back. He's left. So I think overall it's a pretty disappointing picture for Bristol City with, as we speak, exactly a week to go until the start of the season. And as I said just literally seconds ago, there's a lot of time for things to change on the transfer front. But at the minute, I'm not seeing enough from Bristol City to think that they're going to really kick on. Looking one step further than that, I think 14th, I'm going to go with Reading. I think the losses of obviously Michael Olise and Omar Richards are absolutely massive, losing those two. And the fact that they're now under an embargo as well and can't replace them, and especially a player of Elise's quality, losing somebody like that is literally losing the heartbeat of the team. And obviously, Yacoub Mete is out for months as well with a serious injury. So it just doesn't look promising at all for Reading. There's going to be a big onus on Lucas Shaw to score the goals, to just try and keep them in an established, strong position. But I can't see them repeating what they did last season. And then to wrap it up, last but not least for me, 13th is Nottingham Forest. And with Chris Hughton in charge, a bit like Bristol City, Nigel Pearson, I think you should be expecting a lot more from a manager of that capability. But again, I've not been impressed by the recruitment. Just one new signing, that being a goalkeeper. Obviously, a long way to go. Things can change. But at the minute, just not impressed at all by what I'm seeing. Like Tom said earlier on, Joe Lolley, Lewis Graben have really got to step things up this season. They've got to get back on the comeback trail, scoring goals and making things happen. But at the minute, not impressed. And to be honest with you, I think even saying they might finish 13th at the minute may even be a tad optimistic for Forest. But we'll see. So that completes my 1-24. So we'll see what happens come the end of the season with that little lot.
Tom?
Yeah, so I'll start with 16th. I've got Bristol City. Again, I just, you know, really uninspiring. They were really poor for large portions of last season. And I think it was a case of, if we were going to expect anything of them this time round, they were going to have to do some serious bolstering. And again, he's just brought a couple of players that he's worked with before. You know, middle of the road players, not going to get the fans off the feet. And you know that they're decent additions. But I think if Bristol City were going to kick on, they needed to make some real statements of intent. And they've just not made that this time round. So, you know, my expectations are relatively low of them. In 15th, I've got Reading. Again, like I know that sounds really harsh, and I was harsh on Reading last season and it came back to bite me. But I just think, you know, losing Michael Olise, I've got a sneeze coming. Excuse me. Losing Yacoub Mete, you know, obviously he's got a long-term injury after doing his cruciate ligament. I just think it's going to be really difficult for them to do much this season. They've still got quality in the squad, obviously. But I just don't expect much of them this season at all. Barnes in 14th are going to be a little bit of an unknown quantity with Marcus Schott, because first of all, no one knows much about him. Second of all, you know, the players that they're bringing in aren't proven at championship level, but they've proven in recent years that that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to be good additions. Barnsley, they've earned the benefit of the doubt in the transfer market. They consistently make good additions to the squad. But I just think, you know, considering the players they've lost and considering there's going to be no Daryl DK this season, I just can't see them living up to the expectations of living up to what they did last year anyway. And then to round it off in 13th, I've got Swansea, who've obviously just had their squad completely stripped bare, with Matt Grimes looking like he's going to move on to Fulham. They've lost players, not improved. They've lost Steve Cooper, most importantly. And I just don't see them doing much at all this season.
And that rounds off the 1-24s for all four of us. Thank you to everyone if you've got to the end of the pod. 100 minutes of championship content then from us. An hour and 40 in. We do love doing these podcasts every year. It's impossible to condense them with three of us into an hour, but we hope you've enjoyed the 100 minutes or so of a breakdown. And obviously we'll be poking fun at Tom throughout the season for putting Birmingham third, because that is by far the outlandish pick of the episode from all of us. George, you've well done. You've stayed clear this year. Tom is now the butt of the joke for the year, and you've avoided it.
I'll tell you something, though. I'm going to laugh my head off after making that statement if Birmingham do finish third. Yeah. Tom, make sure you get a wave clip of that.
Yeah, that'll go down.
I will. I'll get it. Don't you worry.
That could come back to bite him, that statement.
It could, but
even though I don't think it will.
No, I don't either. So it's been really good, obviously. We love doing this episode in particular. So thank you to those. If you have enjoyed it, please do share it, because obviously these are one of the episodes that a lot of effort goes into, a lot of preparation and analysis. So if you do enjoy it, share it on social media for us. Drop it a text to your friends, link it across your social channels, and we'd really appreciate it. As always, make sure you subscribe to this feed, because we're going to have weekly podcasts, of course, in the new season, giving you analysis and breakdown of each championship game across the season. And obviously the new season starts on Friday, so we're very excited about that. The next podcast we do will be breaking down the opening weekend, which is, you know, a bit of a surreal thing still to say. It still feels a long way away, but it's just, you know, 10 days away before we record that podcast or so. So very exciting times. As always, make sure you're checking us out on Twitter and Instagram at ChampChatPod24, and get involved in our giveaway where you can win a championship strip for the new season just by following us and retweeting the relevant tweet for the competition giveaway, which we're promoting daily. So no chance of you missing that. Make sure you send in your predictions to us on social media as well, again, at ChampChatPod24, Instagram or Twitter, and we'll get back to you and retweet the best ones. So we're looking forward to hopefully some engagement. Let us know your thoughts. Make sure you abuse Tom if you think Birmingham won't finish in third, or whoever you think we've been harsh or too kind on. We really do like getting your comments in and your feedback. So thanks a lot for listening. 102 minutes in the end we've managed to get to. So we'll catch you again very soon.
This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views, and debate from England's second tier.